Today is Friday. It is March the 22nd in 2024, and welcome to the Chapter 49 podcast. Chapter 49 represents most IRS employees in the state of Indiana. My name is Larry Landon. I'm a retiree and a volunteer for Chapter 49, doing a few odds and ends communication-wise, including this podcast. We're happy you've chosen to join us today. And as always, our chapter president, Duncan Giles, is right here. Good to see you again, Duncan. Sorry, Duncan, can you repeat that again? I messed up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Larry. As always, it's good to be here.
We've said this before, but if you're watching on video and you see my head moving, eyes moving around, it's not because I have shifty eyes. It's because I'm also producing this podcast at the same time I'm hosting it, which is not a big problem if you're on audio. But when you've got video, you can see what I'm doing. It looks a little odd because people will say I look a little odd all the time, but particularly when I'm doing what I describe as knob twiddling, trying to keep all of the sound where it should be. So thanks for joining us again, as we mentioned earlier. You know, Duncan, this is the time of year where it's March 22nd, so March Madness got started the day before we record this. And I'm a big basketball fan, particularly college basketball. So last night I was watching television and was an eyewitness to Kentucky, a number 3 seed, losing to Oakland, a number 14 seed, I think it was. Yep. The small college in the Summit League up in Michigan. It's a great story about the coach who's been coaching there since 1984. I mean, it's really a great story in sense of in they don't like to be called Cinderella team, but they are, I think, a Cinderella team. But here's the other side of this. This happens every year, Duncan. You know, in the call center where you and I both used to work, I used to participate in the putting in your brackets, you know, trying to figure out who's going to win. I saw a statistic this morning that after that first day with that upset of Kentucky, do you know how many brackets are still valid?
I've seen it less than 1%.
0.1%. That's the number that people are coming up with. So I think somebody offered $1 million or more than that once, so somebody could get the entire bracket right through the whole tournament. Nobody has ever been able to do that. And even people who like to wager on sports, you can do it legally now. I never do it during the first round because there's just too many upsets. Too many things happen. And, you know, sadly, well, my wife is a Purdue grad, so I'm not going to go to last year. It's a bad memory for most Purdue fans. Anyway, we will get to our subjects at hand. And, of course, the biggest subject we have been talking about since before October 1st of last year was the budget. Will we have a budget? Will we have a government shutdown? The good news is that we have not had a government shutdown. The bad news is IRS is almost halfway through its fiscal year and still doesn't have a budget. We're still on last year's budget, which is a cut, essentially. So right now, we're waiting on the budget to be approved as we record this. It's in Congress. The assurances are it will be done. We're not sure about the timing. There could be some people who do get furlough notices because there could be some lapse during the weekend. But at this point, it appears there is a deal amongst all the congressional leaders. Even though there are recalcitrants in both House and Senate, it looks like there are enough votes to get this done now. So, Duncan, people will watch and listen to this various times. Some of this will all be settled by the time people do consume this podcast. So, another the one message we get every time Doreen Greenwald, our national president, gives us a message, and she mentioned this on this podcast just a few weeks ago, just how ridiculous it is that here we are waiting for a full year budget, and of course the president's already proposing the next fiscal year budget. It's just, it's a crazy way to do things, but that's the way things are being done. As I said, the bad thing is we didn't know what our budget would be as IRS and other agencies. Good news is there has been no government shutdown. It doesn't look like there's going to be one of any consequence. So I'd like your thoughts on how we got here and where we are and where we go from here.
How we got here is a freaking mess that should never be repeated, but I'll lay good money it'll be repeated again this fiscal year. As we're recording this on Friday morning, we're hearing that the House is going to vote sometime this morning or early this afternoon on the budget. Then it'll go over to the Senate. Now, the concern was the House had said in their rules, we need 72 hours to look at a text of the bill. Well, they didn't get that 72 hours. So we're wondering, is that going to hold it up? Thank goodness that didn't hold it up. So it'll go over to the Senate, and the Senate has a lot of very arcane procedural moves that certain senators can make, including the unanimous consent. If there's one senator that says he wants to debate this, that can slow the process down considerably. But what we're looking at, what we're hearing, what we're seeing is, like you said, it looks like there may be a partial shutdown over the weekend. But I think by Monday morning, by the time everyone's supposed to report to work by Monday morning, we should finally have a fiscal year 24 budget 6 months late.
Right. And I should mention before we move on that just for, again, personal reasons, there will be no podcast next week. So we'll have another podcast here in a couple of weeks. Hopefully we can go over this in more detail at that time. But at this particular point, it looks like the IRS budget, even though we're on last year's budget, it appears that the current year budget will be the same as last year's. Explain that.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk. You know, the administration basically said, okay, we're going to give the IRS a flat budget for this coming next year because they're really trying to cut what they call the non-discretionary programs, build up defense, cut the rest of the agencies, or keep them status quo. They're saying that because the IRS still has the money from the IRA, most of the money from the Inflation Reduction Act, that they would be okay with the same amount that they got last year. And the commissioner has said that that should work for us. That'll continue. What we need to do is we need to continue to hire. We need to continue to retain employees. We need to be able to keep improving our IT and our systems and things of that nature and make sure our folks have equipment, all the fun stuff that boils into this. We need all of these. And even with this budget, we're being told that we will be able to continue it and still draw down on the money that we have from the IRA.
And, you know, we have to be careful because IRA always has another meaning within tax law. This IRA is the Inflation Reduction Act, not an individual retirement account. So when we're speaking IRA in this context, it's in the budget. So another thing that happened, and this was agreed to informally, now has been made formal in this budget measure. Originally, the Inflation Reduction Act money to hire and upgrade systems and so forth for the IRS was supposed to be $80 billion over a number of years. Well, as a part of the negotiations on the debt limit that happened some months ago, the commitment was made by the administration to take $20 billion from that $80. So now there's $60 billion of that Inflation Reduction Act money left. So, Duncan, we know some of that's been drawn down, but most of it is still there. So even though IRS has a flat budget, there is room to do improvements in IT. There's room to hire. So there is some money to do the important things IRS needs to get done.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that, you know, has been emphasized by, you know, IRS executives, the commissioner, Doreen Greenwald, and the administration is we need to continue to work on the IRS. We need this money to continue to upgrade our systems, to be able to create something where somebody on the phone or a revenue officer or a taxpayer advocate or a revenue agent who has IDRS can go in and take a look at this and say, okay, this is what's going on with this account right now. Not what happened a week ago, not what happened 2 weeks ago, you know, to be able to do more real-time viewing. And that will also include the taxpayers, because the more that we can upgrade our systems, the more transparent it can be to the taxpayers so we can, you know, help them out a little bit. If we do that, reduce our phone calls, things of that nature. So it's all tied together in a way that it would really help everybody if we continue to get this money. So everybody has fought very hard to keep the remainder of this money, and we still have the vast majority of that $60 billion in a bank, so to speak, you know, that we're able to draw on when and if we need it. So it's a good thing. We don't want to reduce this anymore. We're hoping we can still get some more of that $20 billion back at the back end of this. I'm not holding my breath. But anything that we can do to improve our service, improve our working conditions, get more folks on here so we can do the work that taxpayers expect us to do is a good thing.
Yeah, let's emphasize something you just said, because the president now has submitted his 2025 fiscal year budget, which begins October 1st. If unlikely we'll have a budget by then, but it's supposed to start then.
Yeah.
The president, even though he agreed to take that Inflation Reduction Act money away late last year to get the debt ceiling taken care of, he didn't promise anything else. So now in the next budget proposal, the president is saying, I want to restore that $20 billion to the Inflation Reduction Act. So at least the president realizes the importance of all this.
Absolutely, yeah. From the president, Secretary Treasurer Yellen, Commissioner Werfel, you know, basically everybody, like I said, including the NTU officials, Doreen Greenwald, our national president, says, hey, we need this money. Everybody realizes we have to have this money. The $80 billion wasn't drawn out of thin air. There are plans for all of it in different stages as we continue to move forward. And so, you know, any reduction in that is going to hurt us. I don't think it'll cripple us, but it will hurt us in our effort to help taxpayers. And that's what it all boils down to. The hiring, the infrastructure, everything of that nature is all to assist employees, which will also assist taxpayers and help taxpayers. And that's what we're here for.
You know, Duncan, let me ask you this. I think I've asked this before, but now with the developments we've had recently, when do you think the agency, people working at the agency, will actually see a lot of hiring, see more people, see IT improvements? When do you think we'll start to feel that as an agency for the people working in the agency?
Well, we've certainly seen it in accounts management, the folks who work the phones. We're seeing more of it in the TAC offices. Basically, they're doing the basically customer assistance, for lack of a better term, in submission processing in the service centers. Now we're starting to see the hiring for enforcement, the revenue officers, the revenue agents, you know, the taxpayer compliance officers, the TCOs. Yeah, we're still hiring and still need to hire more folks in IT. God knows taxpayer advocate needs help over there. Appeals needs help. So there's still a lot of places that we can do it, but we have a constraint. Everybody's like, okay, why can't we hire more right now? Well, our hiring folks have shown us that they only have a capacity for X number of employees per year. They're trying to staff up as well, but they aren't able to do it. And they've hired a lot of contractors to try and assist this. Some of that's been good. Some of it's not so good. But it's a work in progress. They're still doing it. And, you know, the IT work is going to take a long time. It's going to take a while. This is not something that we can flip a switch or get something off the shelf, because we have to make sure that every safeguard is there to guard taxpayer information. I mean, that's the keystone of, you know, any IT that we do. We have to make sure that the taxpayer information is protected. So that's going to take longer, going to cost more, and going to take more people working on it. But it is in process. How soon we'll see immediate results from that, not immediate, but transparent results, I'm not sure. But I can tell you they're working on it. But the hiring is ongoing all over the country.
Okay, that's a great answer. Thanks for the update on that. So we'll watch all this as we move along. We'll be topics, I'm sure, on future podcasts. You know, Duncan, as married men, we know that you never, ever want to forget an anniversary, right? Well, we have a different kind of anniversary coming up. It's the one-year anniversary for Commissioner Werfel. Danny Werfel took over as commissioner 1 year ago. And you've talked about how you have observed his commissionership so far and how you feel he is doing. An update as to how you feel the commissioner's doing and how do you feel the workforce is doing under Commissioner Werfel?
Yeah, we've had some good in my almost 30 years here and in, you know, coming up on 24 years as chapter president, I think. We've had some good commissioners. We've had some not good commissioners. One in particular I won't name was really bad. Then you get, you know, people like Commissioner Werfel. Commissioner Werfel, to me, is one thing I always want for a commissioner. Do they get it? Do they understand everything? Not just, okay, we need to get the work out for the public, but how the employees feel, what the employees need, how do we help them so we can make this a better place to work, so we can, you know, help the taxpayers. And Commissioner Werfel gets it. I truly believe he does. Now, there are some that are below him that still have antiquated ideas on how to do things. And they're not really up on, you know, what they need to do to help recruit people, help retain people, things of that nature, and want to fight a lot of this. But the commissioner has pushed back a lot of things where he's gotten resistance, where people say, oh, no, we can't do that, by asking things like, why not? And when they don't come up with an answer or come up with an answer that's, you know, from 20 years ago, he doesn't accept that and he pushes on. And I think that's a great thing to have in a commissioner. As well, he also listens very closely to NTU, not just to our national office, but he's got a very good working relationship with Doreen Greenwald, our national president, but also he listens to chapter presidents. I'm told occasionally he even listens to this podcast. So if you're out there listening, Commissioner Werfel, as always, the invite is open if you want to come on. But, you know,
I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt you, Duncan. I have not heard that before. The commissioner at least does himself. I can understand his staff keeping an eye on us to make sure we don't say anything you don't like. But for him to actually listen or watch the podcast, I had no idea.
I've heard the rumor that he does occasionally. I've heard the rumor. I can't confirm it. I don't know for sure. I know he's aware of this podcast. I have heard that he's listened on occasion. We haven't gotten any hate mail from him, so that's a good thing. But, you know, I'm all for everybody executive-wise in the IRS. We send this out to make sure our members are educated. But this also goes out to other chapter presidents. If they can glean any information or send it out to their folks, we want them to do that. Or executives. Because, you know, if they're the good executives out there, you know, thank you for the job that you're doing. The ones who aren't good and listen to this and gnash their teeth because they're like, well, you know, they're just advocating change and we don't want to change. You know, you have to continually keep moving forward. You have to keep doing things that are going to improve the service. If you're just saying, well, we can't do this. It didn't work 20 years ago. We're not going to do it. That doesn't get it anymore. Not for the workforce, not for the taxpayers. And I don't believe it does for the commissioner as well.
You know, I have a story. When IRS went through its reorganization in the late 90s, we had a commissioner who was from the private sector, Charles Rosati, and he was proposing very big changes. But there was resistance, obviously, within the lower levels of management, as you've described. I'll never forget a story. David Mader was somebody who worked for on the commissioner's staff at that time. And Mr. Mader went in to talk to a bunch of executives. I won't say what part of the service. I'd rather keep it more, you know, generic. But he walks into these executives who are very accustomed to commissioners having new ideas, for commissioners and top people wanting to change things. Of course, their job was to make sure they delay until, you know, that person's gone and none of the changes ever happen. So they expected, okay, we're just going to, use that strategy again. So David Mader comes in, explains all the changes, and they just explain to him one after the other why it won't work and why we cannot do this. So Mader gave all of them a chance to speak, and he just looked out on the crowd and said, this all happened to all be men in this case, because, gentlemen, the train has left the station. You're either on it or you're not. And he got up and walked out of the room. And those guys looked at each other and said, oh, I think we're going to have to do this. And I think that's kind of where we're at. I'll say one other thing about Commissioner Werfel. He gave an interview to the Associated Press. Now, why he would give an Associated Press interview and not one to us, I have no idea. Do you? But
no, none.
If you don't know, the Associated Press is probably the largest news organization in the world. But he gave an interview. And if you want to see the whole interview, there's some video as well. Just Google or use whatever search engine you like. Just put, you know, Associated Press and Commissioner Danny Werfel, and you'll find it pretty quickly. It's a very interesting interview. But Duncan, he said one thing in that interview I found interesting. He sort of compared the IRS and what we do to what NFL referees do, trying to make a call on something that's happened. There is some truth to that, isn't there?
There absolutely is. It's kind of interesting. You know, you mentioned Commissioner Rosati, who I dealt with a couple of times. And Commissioner Rosati had one of my favorite quotes that I feel applies to Commissioner Werfel as well. I'd rather be roughly right than precisely wrong. I love that quote from Commissioner Rosati because I think it encapsulates the attitude that you need to have in an organization like this or any large organization. You know, let's try it. It may not be perfect. You know, if it's not going to compromise taxpayer information, it's not going to be against federal statute or things of that nature. Let's try it. Let's see how it goes. It may work. It may not work, but at least let's give this a shot. If it doesn't, we can learn from it, tweak it, turn it around, try something again. And I think that's a huge thing.
I have a great story from my days of being a tax law specialist. And when, at that particular time, the tax law, there were more of them now. There were just a tiny number of them in toll-free. I was the only one at that time in the toll-free center. And you may recall when, I think it was one of the baseball records were about to, home run records were about to be broken. Somebody did a story about how if somebody caught the ball, the taxes they would have to pay on selling the ball or something. And it got to be a public relations nightmare. And I guess Commissioner Rosati was just furious. I won't get into the whole story about what happened, but he was furious. It was one of those things that happened, and I won't get into the details of how it happened, but it caused a lot of they finally sent out a news release saying, well, this is kind of like trying to make a call on an infield fly rule, which if you know baseball, that's a very special kind of rule where you have to make some judgments. The reason I'm telling you that story is when I was a tax law specialist at the Indianapolis call center, and we were taking calls from anywhere in the country, one of the people came to me because, again, I was the tax law guy. Somebody had actually, it was a later on, that was broken. Then it was broken again later, that home run record. Well, somebody had actually picked up the ball, had it in their hands, and wasn't sure what to do with it, and wanted to know how to handle the taxes. I said, tell them I'll call them back. I don't know what I'm going to say, I'll call him back. And I ended up talking to chief counsel. I talked to all sorts of people about this. The main thing I wanted to do was not fumble this ball. And, you know, that's how you kind of become an umpire. So we gave the guy, I thought, some pretty good advice as IRS would see it. And there was no confusion, no PR debacle or anything. Sometimes you have to be careful. That's how you're a referee or an umpire sometimes and asked to make a call and advise people. And then, of course, if there's an audit, we have to actually make a determination and that kind of thing. Let's move off of that. And we do think that Commissioner Werfel has had a very good first year. We appreciate all that he's done. However, now it is tax filing season. People are filing their tax returns. I filed mine. I'm filing some returns for some friends of mine. Now, because you probably have the same thing happen to you. Certain people always want you to file their taxes for them. Or maybe they don't. I don't know. But even when you're out of IRS, they still ask you to do that. How can you say no? But especially for people working for the IRS, tax compliance is a very special kind of level. You have more is expected of IRS employees in terms of complying with the tax law. And I know you have some thoughts along those lines, even though we're well over a month from the deadline. Or actually, we're less than a month from the deadline. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that, you know, that everybody knows. You hear this in training all the time, but if you're listening to this or viewing this and you're newer to the IRS, you know, you are required to file and pay your taxes on time. You know, that's just expected because of where we work. Now, what I've gotten anecdotal evidence on is apparently due to the withholding tables and things of that nature, a lot of people who usually get refunds or are going to have, you know, almost a zero balance think that they're going to owe and pretty substantially this year. You know, and that happens. If this does happen, I urge you in the strongest possible way, please file your taxes on time. If you don't do anything else, file them on time. If you can't pay in full, you know, figure out if you need to get a loan, talk to your family, hit some savings, home equity, whatever you need to do. If you can, pay it in full. If you can't, you are entitled to do an installment agreement. You know, management doesn't like it when you do that, but, you know, life happens. So you do have that availability as well. But pay what you can as soon as you can and get that off of there. So I just want to put that out there. I'm sure we'll be talking about this closer to the end of filing season. But I always like to make sure that people, especially when I'm hearing that there are going to be a lot of people owing, you know, make sure you file on time and pay as much as you can, if possible, in full. But if not, make sure you set up that installment agreement and pay as much as you can up front.
One other issue I wanted to ask you to comment about. We have in Indiana a primary election coming up on May the 7th. There are rules on administrative time. You might want to start thinking about arranging for that time if you want to vote. There's even early voting if you want to arrange time for that. So explain again how you use the administrative time available to you to vote, early vote, or just explain how the system works and the recent changes that have been made.
Yeah, this happened in the last contract agreement. And, you know, voting, primary voting is different all over the country. Everybody's got different times to do it. Indiana does theirs usually fairly late. That you do have more time to, you know, get to the polls, vote. You know, time to travel to and from there, wait in line, and, you know, do your vote. Because we do want, I personally, and the IRS as an organization, as well as NTU, wants you to make your voice heard, wants you to vote. I feel extremely strongly that this is, you know, part of the constitutional process that we're entitled to, and we should do that. So take a look at that. If you need to talk to your manager about going to, if you're planning on voting early, talk to your manager about that. Basically, work out where you can, if you need to have that much advance notice, to talk to them about voting and time off so you can get that accomplished.
Okay, Duncan, time for your final comment.
My final comment today is basically I'm going back to something that's been somewhat on the back burner and has really surprised me, and that's, you know, we need to make sure that we continue to fund our friends in Ukraine. You know, it's still, you know, we need to fight for democracy wherever it may be. And in this case, they are fighting something that is absolutely not a democracy and fighting for their very lives. So I feel that we should still, not just us, but also our congressional leaders should also, you know, help in that support. Should there be oversight in what we're sending to them? Sure, absolutely. No problem with that whatsoever. But we need to give them the tools so they can defend themselves.
You know, I think another thing, I hope that the U.S. Congress would also fund an operation that the UN is involved with. Haiti is going through some horrible situations. People living there are going through a horrible they've had problems in the past, but now they have armed gangs running most of the country. The government has completely lost control. Nigeria has offered to come in and restore order. It's us. Well, Nigeria said, we'll do it. We just need the funding to do that. And the U.S. Congress has that before, and I would certainly hope the Congress acts on that. But here's my final comment, Duncan. Do you remember this name, Rod Blagojevich?
Oh, yeah.
And people who are watching or listening in Illinois remember this man. He was a former governor of the state of Illinois. He was sent to prison on criminal charges. One of the criminal charges is when Barack Obama left his Senate seat to become president. The allegation which led to a conviction was that he literally auctioned off the Senate seat, offering it to the highest bidder. Just incredible allegation that was led to a conviction. He had some other convictions as well. Then he had his sentence commuted in 2020 by then-President Donald Trump. Well, one thing Rod Blagojevich always loved to do was like come up with strange quotations. He would quote just about anybody or anything, you know, ancient Greek history, whatever. Well, what Mr. Blagojevich has done, he is an attorney, of course, but he filed a lawsuit where he represented himself, and most lawyers I know say if you're a lawyer, your own lawyer, you have a fool for a lawyer. But so he filed this lawsuit because probably nobody else would do it for him. He wants to run for public office again. Now, he was impeached by the state of Illinois and removed from office, which means in Illinois you can't run for office again. Well, he wants to run for office. He's not sure what or what office or when. He's 67 years old, but yeah, he wants the ability to run for office. He went to federal court, went to a U.S. district court judge named Stephen Seeger. So when he issued his ruling, basically telling Mr. Blagojevich, no, you cannot run for any office again, he relied on Dr. Seuss's 1972 book, Marvin K. Mooney, Will You Please Go Now? And I went to the Associated Press to find this, and here's what the actual court ruling said about this, and I quote, "The time has come, the time has come. The time is now. Just go, go, go. I don't care how. You can go by foot. You can go by cow. Marvin K. Mooney, will you please go now?" In other words, Mr. Blagojevich, just go away. The public's tired of hearing about you. And that's my final comment for today. So thank you for watching and listening. This is the Chapter 49 podcast. My name is Larry Landon. Again, I'm just a volunteer here at Chapter 49, trying to help out Duncan Giles and the chapter where I can. And communications, go to our Facebook page. Just go to NTEU Chapter 49 Indiana. Use that exact phrase, and you can follow or like our Facebook page. Try to keep that up to date. We certainly will be doing that in the next few days as the budget situation finalizes for fiscal year 2024, which we are in now. So again, we thank you for watching and listening and taking a little time to do that. We very much appreciate that. It helps Duncan and I. We do. He puts time in on his work day to do this. And of course I use my volunteer time as a retiree to do this. In the meantime, please be safe and be kind.